coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read as follows. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul addresses Timothy very affectionately, calling him my child. Like a father speaks tenderly to his son, so Paul speaks tenderly to Timothy, guiding and encouraging him in the pastoral ministry. Paul wishes that Timothy be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is God's favor towards sinners who deserve nothing except God's wrath. Grace is the basis on which sinners are drawn to God and reconciled to Him through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Grace would sustain Timothy in the ministry. Paul also commands Timothy to entrust to faithful men the gospel message the apostle had delivered to him. Timothy had been with Paul on missionary journeys. Therefore he had heard Paul's teachings and learned them in the presence of many witnesses. The gospel is the means by which Christ is brought to people, and people are giving faith in Jesus. For this reason, the gospel needs to be proclaimed. Paul advises Timothy to prepare preachers, men with proven spiritual character and giftedness, who would in turn pass on the gospel to another generation. That was quite a challenging task for Timothy, don't you think so? This process of spiritual reproduction, which began in the early church, is to continue until the Lord comes on the last day. That is what churches do by maintaining seminaries and theological schools. Timothy's pastoral ministry was paved with challenges. Paul gives encouragement in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 7. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Paul presents three examples for Timothy to follow. First, a soldier who wants to please his commander. Second, an athlete who follows the rules of the game. And third, a farmer who works hard and waits for the harvest. In all of the three occupations, suffering is a common element. So also the Christian life and the pastoral ministry bring with themselves suffering. However, suffering is not the final result. Rather, through suffering, excellent fruits are harvested. In a similar way, a soldier avoids getting involved in things that do not belong to his calling, but concentrates on what his duty requires, so also a Christian shall fight anything evil, particularly the hostile world, that could distract him from following Jesus. Equally, an athlete submits himself to rigorous training, to specific diet, and to strict discipline to take part in competitions. An athlete also needs to follow strictly the rules of the competition if he wants to reach the podium. In a similar way, Christian life requires constant preparation, discipline, taking up the cross and following Jesus. The case of a hard-working farmer is just as an encouraging example. It takes much investment of effort, dedication, and patience till a farmer can enjoy the fruits of his labor. Similarly, Christian life involves determination and efforts to combat temptations. It requires patience in adversities and trust in God's promises. Having given these examples, the apostle urges Timothy to think over what has been said, confident that the Lord will give him understanding in everything. Paul goes on writing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In the midst of adversities, we tend to focus on the adversities themselves and wonder whether one day we will be able to overcome them. The Apostle Paul follows another path. In the midst of adversities, he focuses on Jesus Christ. He gears Timothy's attention, who was facing numerous challenges, to the correct focal point, saying, "Remember Jesus Christ." Who is Jesus Christ? He is the offspring of David. According to his human nature, Jesus was a descendant of King David, that is, the true promised Messiah, the Savior of sinners. To accomplish the work of redemption, Jesus Christ died on the cross. But he did not remain in the grave. Paul stresses the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Through his resurrection, Jesus Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. The resurrection of Christ is the central truth of the gospel. This gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul preached, and for this reason he suffered persecution, was bound with chains as a criminal, which means that he was put in a dungeon in Rome. The Apostle was bound, but the Word of God cannot be bound. Even in prison, Paul opened his mouth and testified to Jesus Christ. Even in prison, Paul wrote letters, including the one to Timothy, instructing and encouraging others to preach the gospel. The word of God is not bound. This is a very comforting statement for us. Christians may be forbidden to speak up their faith. Christians may be put in prison, but their voices cannot be shut up. Nowadays Christians join the believers of the early days of Christianity and confess, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." Paul was confident that the gospel would circulate and advance. Therefore he was ready to endure everything for the sake of the elect, that is, for all Christians, that they might obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. No suffering is too great if it brings about the salvation of people. Having said this, the apostle adds some beautiful statements, saying, "If we have died with Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." These words are probably an early Christian hymn. Believers participate in Christ's death and resurrection, particularly in holy baptism. This includes the possibility of suffering martyrdom for the sake of Christ. If we endure in the faith to the end, then we will also reign with Christ in eternal glory. On the other hand, if we deny Christ and fall away from the faith, then Christ will also deny us, that is, then there will be no salvation for us. On the other hand, Paul emphasizes that God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is love, and he loves faithfully because it is part of his nature, even if no one should love him in return. We easily fail to be faithful. However, we can trust Jesus, for he continues to love us. He welcomes repentant and believing sinners and forgives them. In the sequence of his letter, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 19. Remind them of these things, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Paul, the experienced man of God, coaches young Timothy in the pastoral ministry. Timothy should remind the faithful men who were being trained for the ministry the things Timothy himself had been taught. The lesson in view is this: candidates to the holy ministry should not quarrel about words, a thing that does no good, but only ruins the hearers. They should avoid meaningless word games, arguing with false teachers who use human reason to subvert God's word. Is not only foolish and futile, but dangerous. This can confound and disturb hearers and lead them away from the truth and the faith. Timothy is advised to do his best to present himself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. In other words, Timothy should persist in accomplishing with zeal his ministry, to give his maximum effort to impart God's word accurately and clearly to his hearers. After all, there is nothing to be ashamed of in being a zealous preacher. Timothy should rightly handle the word of truth. Precision and accuracy are required in biblical interpretation beyond all other enterprises, because the interpreter is handling God's word. One of the main aspects in this respect is to divide correctly the word of God, to distinguish law and gospel, and to apply correctly law and gospel. This is a huge challenge with which a preacher struggles and which he must learn during his whole ministry. Once again, Paul advises Timothy to concentrate on what really matters, instead of occupying himself with irreverent babble, that is, empty talking of false teachers. Irreverent babble leads people into more and more ungodliness, instead of bringing them to Christ. Irreverent babble spreads like gangrene and causes decay and corruption. That's the danger of false teachings. They are pervasive. They spread. They cause serious damage and can kill. Paul mentions the name of two false teachers who may have been in Ephesus: Hymenaeus and Philetus. They had turned from the true gospel and taught that the resurrection has already happened. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 6, the Apostle Paul speaks about baptism. He says that in baptism we have been united to Christ. We died with Christ, and we have been risen with Christ, so that we might walk in newness of life. So in baptism a spiritual resurrection took place already. However, this does not deny a physical resurrection of the body at the end of times. Apparently, the false teachers in Timothy's days denied the physical resurrection, and that upset the faith of some believers. Denying physical resurrection means denying Christ's resurrection. And denying Christ's resurrection means undermining and annulling the very foundation of the Christian faith. In spite of heresies, Timothy should be heartened to know that the Church is God's solid foundation. Paul reminds us that the Lord knows those who are His. He searches the hearts of people and knows who truly believes and who does not. Returning to the Bible text, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Earlier, Paul used three comparisons, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer, to describe the pastoral office and Christian life. Now Paul uses the example of a mansion to describe the difference between rightly handling the truth and irreverent babble. In a wealthy home, the vessels made of precious gold and silver were used for honorable purposes, such as serving food to the family and guests. Those vessels made of wood and clay were not for any honorable use, but rather for disposing of rubbish and the filthy waste of the household. The lesson is that a preacher must separate himself from the wood and clay of irreverent babble and be ready for every good work, that is, be consecrated for God's good purposes. Paul concludes chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, saying in verses 22 to 26 the following. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, after being captured by him to do his will. Timothy is still a fairly young man, so Paul strongly recommends him to flee or resist youthful passions, that means not only resist illicit sexual desires, but also feelings and attitudes such as pride, greed and power, jealousy, argumentative spirit, and the like. Instead, Paul recommends Timothy to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. These are the precious virtues to seek and follow. Once more, Paul stresses the fact that Timothy shall avoid foolish, ignorant controversies of false teachers, because they produce nothing good. On the contrary, they breed quarrels. Since Timothy stands as the Lord's servant in the pastoral office, He must not be quarrelsome, engaging in useless controversies, but he must be kind to everyone. Kindness is expected of every Christian as a result of the faith in Jesus. Timothy must be able to teach, knowing Scripture and having the skill to apply the teachings to people's lives. With the ability of teaching and patiently enduring evil, Timothy would also be able to correct his opponents with gentleness. In doing so, the aim would be to lead the opponents to repentance, revealing to them a knowledge of the truth. False teachers and unbelievers are victims of the snare of the devil. They serve the devil, and if they remain unrepentant and in unbelief, their final fate will be condemnation. The task of every man in the pastoral office is to teach God's word, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, sinners might be brought to Christ and to salvation. This is also the aim of the Lutheran Radio UK. The lessons the Apostle Paul taught Timothy also apply to us. Let us concentrate on Holy Scriptures, and in doing so, focusing on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus declares, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.